produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Hello, everyone. This is Richard Floyd with Power Up Your Family. It is great to be back with you once again. And as always, a lot has happened since we visited on our last program. Needless to say, we are still smack dab in the middle of this pandemic. The coronavirus, COVID-19, seems to be on the news 24/7. It's on everyone's mind. And I guess some of that is the fact that so many people are sheltering in place and wearing masks in the public activities. And so we are mindful that we still are fighting this insidious virus. And so as we considered our program for today, there's been some concern that many have voiced and that I have observed. How much is it appropriate for us to give up a lot of our freedoms in order to have safe preservation? And is there a balance there that maybe the scale has been tipped one way or the other too much? As I've heard in the news and seen in the news, it has seemed a little draconian in some instances to hear about situations where governors tell their citizens that they can't go buy seeds, for example, or they can't go to the electronics department or the clothing section of a big box store that's already got people in it, already buying things such as food and groceries and essentials. But they're not allowed down certain aisles because the governor deemed that those were not essential items. Now, imagine a family who's maybe had to relocate and they're stuck in a new town and their kids need pajamas, but yet they're in a store that sells pajamas, but they're told they can't buy those pajamas because the store will be fined or they might be fined or prohibited from making that purchase. Or maybe dad wants to do some gardening and grow some fruits and vegetables. An outside activity, healthy, raising your own food, maybe helping to decrease the demand on the food chain, and doing something constructive. We've seen a lot of things that just don't make sense. And it's like, is this necessary? I saw on the news not long ago in Philadelphia where 10 police officers were dragging a passenger off of a bus for not wearing a face mask. Or in Colorado, police handcuffing a father in front of his family for playing t-ball with his daughter in an empty park. Or three Massachusetts men being arrested and facing the possibility of 90 days in jail for crossing state lines and golfing, a sport built for social distancing, as they went into Rhode Island. There really is no reason to close public parks where Americans can maintain social distance while getting some air or space for their mental and physical well-being. Or maybe to see a grandchild from afar. You know, in California, surfers who stay far away from each other are banned from going in the water. Elsewhere, hikers are banned from roaming the millions of acres in national parks. And think about the millions of lower-income and urban-dwelling Americans who don't have the luxury of backyards. And there's absolutely no reason to inhibit their movement, is there? Just a few days before Easter, in my hometown of Louisville, Kentucky, the mayor attempted to unilaterally ban drive-in church services for the most holy day in Christianity. Easter. It's one thing if people are purposefully and openly undermining public health, the constitutional right to assemble peacefully and protest or practice your religion, however, is not inoperable in presence of a viral pandemic. Think about the Dallas judge who said implored the residents to rat out neighbors. And we've seen this in other jurisdictions where hotlines have been installed so that if you see someone doing things that they're not supposed to be doing, you call in and report them. That reminds me of things we read about during the draconian period of the Russian Soviet Union, where neighbor ratted on neighbor. So where are we in all of this? There's a lot of juxtapositioning. You know, we are at war, obviously. We want to destroy and remove this virus from our society. But at what price are we doing it? And so today I'd like to talk a little bit about the war in heaven and the war on the coronavirus. Now, you might say, what does the war in heaven have to do with this virus? Well, I'll get to that in a minute. But I read an article recently where the writer was having a conversation with his mother about this virus and what's going on in our society. And as he was leaving, she asked her son the question, do you think it is right for the government to force people to stay home? Now, as a Latter-day Saint, we have what's known as the Articles of Faith, 13 Articles of Faith that were established at the beginning of the restoration of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And the 11th Article of Faith, I'm sorry, the 12th Article of Faith simply states, we believe in being subject to kings, presidents, rulers, and magistrates in obeying, honoring, and sustaining the law. The Latter-day Saints believe strongly that we should obey, honor, and sustain the law. So the question is, when is the law? Is there ever an instance when the law is wrong and morally not correct? And should we obey the law, even if it's not morally correct? So let's talk a little bit about the comparison of where we are now and what we're dealing with. Now, let me make it very clear that I believe that this virus is real, that people are dying, livelihoods are being destroyed, entire nations' economies are on the verge of collapse. And governments around the world are piling on more and more debt in an attempt to keep the systems going. The big question is not what should be done. Everyone agrees that this virus needs to be stopped. But the big question is how should it be done? I think that generally speaking, we can break down the approaches to dealing with COVID-19 perhaps in two different camps. First, the forced quarantine. This is the most common approach. We have mayors, governors, presidents, prime ministers declaring quarantines, stay at home, shelter in place orders, enforcing businesses to shut their doors, fining, arresting people who are outside, or prohibiting the selling of non-essential items, for example. As I mentioned earlier, in Michigan, they're not only forcing companies to shut their doors, causing many people to lose their jobs and companies. Those few that the government thinks are appropriate to remain open are being told they can't sell non-essential items, also known as they won't allow Walmart to sell seeds, or the case down in our neighboring state of Mississippi, where the police ticketed people who were going to a drive-in church service where they remained in their cars. Entire countries are shutting down. The assumption is that people will not voluntarily choose quarantine, so a stay-at-home order must be in place. This reporting of neighbors is just amazing to me. And so, you know, literally, governments around the world literally are stepping up enforcement of these orders with heavy-handed tactics, including arresting, fining, and in some countries, literally shooting people who don't follow their plan to stop the spread of the virus. All notions of rights apparently have been suspended in pursuit of flattening the curve. Now, the second camp believes that COVID-19 is real, but that the shutting down of entire economies is not the solution. They believe that we should socially distance ourselves, but that businesses should be able to figure out the best way to operate to ensure that the economic fallout does not cost more human lives than the disease. This group believes that you should take every reasonable measure to flatten the curve, but that it is not for the governments to suspend rights and force you to do so. They believe it should be voluntary. This is not to say that elected officials could not issue warnings, but the authoritarian tactics we are seeing would be off the table. Now, within this second group falls the approach that I've seen my church, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, utilize. The church has been closely monitoring this virus. And months ago, they were quarantining missionaries, closing temples, and suspending services in Asia to be good global citizens and help stop the spread. Once coronavirus broke out in Italy, the church pulled their missionaries and suspended church services, again, to be good global citizens. And finally, when the coronavirus hit the USA, before anyone was even worried about it, the prophet of God, through inspiration, directed that all church services be suspended throughout not only the United States, but the entire world. 31,000 congregations of Latter-day Saints, over 16 million Latter-day Saints, under the direction of a prophet of God, were asked to suspend all church services in public buildings. Now, the direction we were given was to how to go about providing religious services, the blessing of the sacrament, and studying and coming together as families within our homes to have a worship service on the Sabbath day. So, as this continued, we've now seen the recall of all missionaries, some 35,000 missionaries around the world from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints have been called back to their home countries. All of our temples are temporarily closed. And there's 167 operating temples that were affected by this. But here's the important element here. All of these actions were voluntary and an attempt to be a good global citizen. Now you might say, well, what does this virus and the war in heaven have in common? Everything. In the war in heaven, we face a vitally important decision or situation. Whose plan were we going to support? Heavenly Father had proposed a plan that was championed by his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, where was presented the idea that we should all have the freedom to choose. Agency, free agency. We could choose to obey and be rewarded, or we could choose to disobey and be punished. However, the other plan, which was proposed by Lucifer, he had his own plan, where he claimed that everyone could be saved, and if necessary, everyone would be coerced to choose the right. So it is a narrative that we've all heard many times. God's plan was agency. Satan's plan was force. But today we have real life examples of this when we look at coronavirus. We have leaders of the world trying to force their citizens to do what they deem is best. They have suspended God-given rights. They have shut down small businesses, destroyed entire economies and the livelihood of millions of people all because they do not believe we will choose the right, but that we must be coerced to do so. In juxtaposition, you have the church and others encouraging people to voluntarily do everything in their power to stop the spread without government mandates and threats. So the war rages on. Satan was cast out of heaven for his rebellion and for seeking to destroy the agency of men. But he has not given up. One of the past presidents of the church, President Gordon B. Hinckley, did not mince words when he described our day. Quote, "That war, the war in heaven, so bitter, so intense, has never ceased. It is the war between truth and error, between agency and compulsion, between the followers of Christ and those who have denied him. His enemies have used every stratagem in that conflict. They've indulged in lying and deceit. They've employed money and wealth. They've tricked the minds of men. They've murdered and destroyed and engaged in every kind of evil practice to thwart the work of Christ." That quote is referenced in a article in the June 2007 Enzyme, a church publication. The article had a title, "An Unending Conflict, A Victory Assured." Unfortunately, it is not shocking to see governments attempting to use force. Anyone who is not ignorant of history knows the mantra, quote, "The ends justify the means," close quote, has been the justification used by governments in committing atrocities and genocides. The Holocaust, the Armenian Genocide, the Great Leap Famine are the names of just a few of the actions by governments following Satan's plan. So no, it does not shock us to learn that governments are willing to let Satan guide them again. After all, President Benson, another president of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, who by the way served as the Secretary of Agriculture during the Eisenhower administration, President Benson warned, "The war that began in heaven over this issue is not yet over. The conflict continues on the battlefield of mortality. And one of Lucifer's primary strategies has been to restrict our agency through the power of earthly governments." Now, you got to remember that, by the way, that message was given in an article or a talk entitled "The Constitution, a Heavenly Banner" in September of 1986, during the period of time we know as the Cold War. But what many find shocking is to see how many people are falling into Satan's trap. They're playing off the fear of the coronavirus. Satan has turned many of us from the side that we've once fought for in the pre-existence, agency, to the promises of safety that coercion brings. I've seen many on Facebook and other social media complaining that the rules by the government are not strict enough. They complain that the governors or the mayors or the president of the United States have not locked down the state of the country or suspended God-given rights fast enough. Now, this is amazing. It shocks me almost. Many fought against Satan's plan in heaven, but now they are begging governments to embrace Satan's plan. They're so afraid that people won't voluntarily choose to do what they deem as the right thing, that they're begging the government to violate agency and to force people to obey. Many have been blinded by fear. They don't realize what they are supporting. Satan, the father of all lies, has tricked them into believing that the war in heaven is over. The ends justify the means, and that government forcing people to do things is different than Satan's plan. Sadly, when Judgment Day comes, they will learn that they were fighting for the wrong cause. As President Benson warned in a general conference of the church, quote, as important as are all other principles of the gospel, it was the freedom issue which determined whether you received a body. To have been on the wrong side of the freedom issue during the war in heaven meant eternal damnation. How then can Latter-day Saints or any of us expect to be on the wrong side in this life and escape the eternal consequences? The war in heaven is raging on earth today. The issues are the same. Shall men be compelled to do what others claim is for their best welfare? Or will they heed the counsel of the prophets and preserve their freedom? Which shall it be, my friends? We have quite a lot to consider. So, what does the war in heaven have to do with the coronavirus? Everything. We are being tested once again on which plan we will embrace. Will we embrace personal freedom to do good or evil, knowing that some will choose evil? Or will we reject God's plan in favor of forcing others to do what we deem best because that sounds like it is less risky? Remember, the score might be in question, but we know that God is in control and this too shall pass. So let us follow the example of our prophets as we navigate the last days. Let us choose to use our agency to be good citizens. Let us obey the laws of the land and do our parts to help stop the spread of COVID-19. But let us also be good individuals and stand up for freedom and choose once again the Lord's plan. John Taylor, another president of the church from back in 1882 at a general conference, said, quote, "Besides the preaching of the gospel, we have another mission, namely the perpetuation of the free agency of man and the maintenance of liberty, freedom, and the rights of men." That is the question that is before us. How do we have this balance between war in heaven, coercion, free agency, and what we're facing here with the coronavirus? Well, I would suggest that, yes, we should be good citizens and do as we are required by law. But there are avenues and ways in order to contact our elected representatives and to express our concerns if things have gone too far. We've seen protest groups in different localities. This is certainly a freedom that we exist, the freedom of assembly. It's interesting that several weeks before this virus became a hot issue, we were planning a religious liberty event in Little Rock, Arkansas, and in Memphis, Tennessee. And we were going to have two constitutional law experts who are very familiar with the Constitution, and especially the Bill of Rights, and particularly the First Amendment with regard to the freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, freedom of speech, and so forth. And as the planning for this event was taking place, the date had been set for April 23rd, which just recently passed, for this event to be held in Memphis and a couple of days prior to have been held in Little Rock. Interestingly enough, long before any concern about the virus was causing shutdowns or any compulsory quarantines, the leaders involved in the planning of this event felt impressed by the Spirit to postpone the event until perhaps in the fall. As we prepared for that, though, it gave me the opportunity to do a lot of reading and a lot of research and study about the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and specifically the freedom of religion, and the impact that our society has experienced as we've seen the restriction of these freedoms in many years past. I found it rather interesting that as we've approached now what we've talked about today, that I have in a juxtaposition that knowledge and reminder of our freedoms as it relates to the restrictions that we have seen and experienced. My thoughts are simply this: as we are now embarked upon a gradual reopening of the economy, as they talk, we still need to practice common sense with social distancing. We need to wash our hands. We need to avoid gathering in large groups. And we need to do the things that just are good, common sense things to avoid infection. But let us not be fearful and stay hunkered down, as some would say, or sheltered in place and fearful of going out. I know in the Memphis, Bartlett, Tennessee area, I'm seeing a lot of folks who have certainly not been intimidated by all this. As I go to a grocery store every so often, there's three or four different grocery stores I go to, and every time I go in, I'm amazed at just how many people, no matter what time of the day, are shopping for food and other essentials. It's also been kind of humorous to see it consistently the aisles with toilet tissue, paper towels, and the like, the shelves are always empty. It's just amazing how much hoarding has been going on. So as Latter-day Saints, we've been given the instruction for years to be prepared for economic disruptions and uncertainty by having a supply of food and other essentials for perhaps a 3-month supply or longer if circumstances and resources permit. And so for most members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, all of this panic over store buying is not as critical as it might be for the general public. However, having said all this, it is my hope and prayer that we will soon return to a more normal society as quickly as possible. I'm hopeful with the advent of warmer temperatures that we'll see a reduction of the virus and that the spread will be greatly restricted and that we'll be able to see a renewal of our economy and a decrease in the loss of life and sickness due to the virus. It's my testimony to you that I believe that God, our Heavenly Father, loves each of us, and that if we place our faith in Him and have faith in His Son, Jesus Christ, and use the promptings of the Spirit to guide us, that we can proceed forward in faith and be protected. And this I bear testimony in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.